Okay, we are live.
All right. Good morning, everybody. My name is Fred Wilson. I'll be the hearings officer today's public hearing. It's the time set aside for the public hearing in what is the Cool Mine Solar case. The file number is Z0363-20-C. Mr. Knapp, I don't know if you heard the discussion beforehand. I'm on the road on the way back from vacation, so that's why I'm in the car, not in my office with the suit on like Mr. Grogan and everything. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay.
As long as you're not driving.
Yeah. I think before I get into my normal spiel, Mr. Glasgow is going to give a little discussion about how this will work on Zoom more than everybody needs for today, but I think we'll just do that since that's how we always do it.
Yep. Hang on one second here. Okay, look at me go. Yeah, this is going to take about 2 minutes, but just bear with me here because we have to do it for the record. So Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic, so this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, what happened? Somebody unshared me. Hang on a minute. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and applicant, both have audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator, our very own Darcy Reinhardt. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded. As required by law, the county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website as soon as we can. It'll probably be early next week. There's a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. Although in this case, we've got a really small group, so just kind of like that and we'll get to you. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a bit. Primarily, you will see all the participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, you're going to send it to me, and I'm going to put up a slide here in a minute that's got my info. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision, as will the property owner in this case. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you need to provide your email and or standard mailing address. And that's it for that formal stuff. So back to the hearings officer.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Glasgow. I know, Mr. Grogan, you've been through this spiel a number of times. There's things I have to say for every public hearing, whether there's one person here or 100. But I'll try to go through the quick version. So a lot of this is for you, Mr. Knapp, since you're the one who hasn't been to these before. But today is an opportunity for people to testify, to present evidence, to make legal arguments. I don't make a final decision today. There'll be a later written decision that comes after the record's been closed. A few things I have to talk about before every public hearing. I need to disclose that I've had any ex parte contacts, that's any discussions about the merits of the case before today. I haven't. One thing I know about this case is what I received from the planning department that's in the planning file and in the staff report. I need to disclose that I'm biased, whether I'm for or against the application for any reason other than the merits. And I'm not. I'm not familiar with the property. I'm not familiar with Mr. Knapp. I don't have any reason to feel one way or the other. Finally, I need to disclose that I have any conflicts of interest. I don't. I'm in private practice in Salem. I don't have any clients in Clackamas County, let alone anywhere near the subject property. I don't own property in Clackamas County or have family that owns property in Clackamas County. The way these hearings will work, Mr. Knapp, is we will start with the staff report from Mr. Glasgow. After that, Mr. Grogan will have an opportunity to present your case. If anybody shows up if you want to testify, that would be your after Mr. Grogan. If there's anything you want to testify about, you can testify. If anybody else shows up who's in favor, who wants to testify, they could go. If anybody joins in the interim who wants to testify in opposition, then they would testify after that. If somebody else testifies in opposition, then Mr. Glasgow or Mr. Grogan will have a chance. We'll both have an opportunity to respond to that. A few other things I required by state statute to say is if you testify, please direct your testimony to the approval criteria. They are the conditional use approval criteria that are listed in the staff report, section 1203. Those are the only things I can make my decision based upon. If you have any, make sure you raise any and all issues you have. If you don't raise those issues, you may be precluded from raising them in the future. There are any further proceedings or appeals of this case. Also, as the applicant, there are a number of proposed conditions of approval. If you have any problems or concerns about those, think they may be unconstitutional takings or anything like that, make sure you raise those issues or you may be precluded from raising those. With that, I think, and as far as I understand, Mr. Glasgow, there's been no opposition received in writing to this case.
Right, that is correct. The only comments I've received are from ODA and the fire department, but there's been no testimony submitted, no.
Okay. Well, great. Since we don't have any preliminary matters to take care of, then we can turn to the staff report.
Okay. And as long as, just for the record, present this morning, we have me, we have Darcy Reinhardt, county staff, we have the hearings officer, we have property owner Bill Knapp, and we have the Grogan brothers representing Sewell Solar. I am in a gymnasium in Molalla. It's very noisy in here. I'm at the fire recovery center, and I'm just kind of tucked off in this draped off area here. As long as the group stays small like this, I'm going to be even more brief than usual, just because it's hard for me to hear in here with what's going on, and I don't want to turn up the volume so you have to listen to it. Can everybody hear me? Is that
yes.
Okay? All right.
Yes.
So let me just kind of blow through this pretty quick. Can everybody see this slide? Probably not. Hang on a minute. I want to share that because that's so pretty. All right, here we go. So it's our file number 363-20-C. The proposal is a photovoltaic solar power facility, 10 acres. It's just the usual thing. We've looked at quite a few of these, certainly presented by Psulis as well as others, but we've looked at a lot of these. Subject property is about 43 acres in size in this case, zoned exclusive farm use. That's why we're in here with a conditional use. And as I mentioned, this is a 10-acre proposal. The property itself is located, we've got kind of a, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, we've got kind of a mystery with the addresses, but it accesses off Highway 26 between Langensand and Furwood Roads. It's about 43 acres in size. It's in non-intensive farm use. There's a dwelling on the property. Zone designation, exclusive farm use. As far as area use, this is just east and now also just south with annexation of the city of Sandy, and it's mixed use. I'm going to throw up a couple of maps here. Here's sunny downtown Sandy right here. Here's our subject property right there. See, I get a little closer. You know, it's about 40 plus acres, give or take. Here's Highway 26. You got Furwood Road over here, Langensand over here. I got married in that church right there for whatever that's worth, but that doesn't matter. Here's an aerial of the septic property. Gives an idea of what goes on around it. Generally on the southerly side southerly side of Highway 26 in there, it's in resource use. Non-intensive farming, there's some timber plots, that kind of thing. Across the highway within the city of Sandy, that's actually commercially zoned. I think that's, if I remember right, that's some kind of an RV dealership in there. But there's a variety of uses over there, including some residential. I threw this up just because the applicant supplied it. This is a soils map, and I think you're going to find, once you look at a site plan, you're going to notice this shape. This is kind of the plot plan that's submitted here by the applicant, showing the approximate 10 acres of the site being used for this. I'm going to pass that slide. As far as applicable criteria in this case, this is a conditional use. Section 1203 is the guiding code section there. It drops you off into other sections, including Section 401, which is the underlying EFU zone. The development review standards 1005 through 7, dealing with site design itself, roads, parking, traffic, that kind of stuff, and along with 1015 for parking. And in this case, the proposed use is also limited, governed by state administrative rule, Division 33, sub 130, as amended. And I think everybody here probably remembers, well, maybe not Mr. Knapp, but there were some relatively significant changes made to Division 33 regarding solar applications within the last year. It really slowed down the traffic as far as these applications. We've had a couple. And basically what it does is it limits these even further on certain types of farm soils, specifically class one, class two, prime and unique. You know, basically just says, no, you can't do them on that. It continues to have the 12-acre maximum limit on other farm type soils, including class three and above. And in this case, it's this is being proposed as arable lands, but I'll get into that in a minute. So in order to approve a conditional use, the applicant needs to show and the county needs to find that all six of the conditional use criteria are met. The first criterion is the applicant needs to show that the use itself is provided for in the zone as potentially allowed. And in this case, I made a typo. Section 401... Table 401-1, this type of use is listed as a potential conditional use subject to a variety of standards, including those provided by Division 33 from the state. The second criterion, you need to show that the site itself is suitable for the proposed use, and this is in consideration of, you know, dimensional features, natural features, that kind of thing. I made findings through the staff report. I think you've all had a chance to look at that. The property is basically a rectangle with a little chunk taken out of it. It's 40 plus acres. Size, shape certainly are not limiting. As far as topography, it's apparently adequate for the use. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been proposed for the use. It was a cliff facing north. Obviously, that wouldn't be used. So topography and other site characteristics are suitable in this case. The second criterion is satisfied. Number three, you've got to show, generally speaking, that it's consistent with Subsection 1007, that's transportation concurrency. That's basically, you would need to show that the additional traffic generated by this use can be dealt with by the existing system, or changes will be made in the system to support the use. In this case, this particular type of use is exempt from that standard, but we do still need to make findings against the safety element of Section 1007. I did that in the staff report. Made positive findings. Fourth criterion, you need to show will not alter the surrounding area in a manner that substantially limits, impairs, or precludes the use of properties for primary use as allowed in the zoning district in which those properties are located. Generally speaking, adjoining properties in this case off to the west and south are also EFU. There's some timber zoning in there as well. Previous applications for this type, we have a pretty good track record on this. This type of use is, you know, once it's put up, is relatively inert. I mean, it just kind of sits there quietly and, you know, absorbs the sun. There is some activity during construction when they're actually putting these things up, but otherwise these have not been shown to really interfere with adjoining farm and forest uses. ODA submitted comments of the Oregon Department of Aviation. There's an airstrip in the vicinity, and they just it's just general language, and that's included here as an exhibit. But based on the track record we have with this type of use and the application submitted here, I was able to make positive findings for number D. The fifth criterion, the applicant needs to show that applicable comprehensive plan policies are satisfied. This gets kind of vague and fuzzy really fast. Mr. Grogan went on ahead and it made findings against the plan sections that he felt were applicable. I tried to address those to the extent I could and any others that I could think of, and was able to find positively here as well. And the final one is you got to show that it complies with any requirements of the zoning district itself. That's section 401, and the staff report goes through that, and any overlay districts which are on the property here, that, you know, that'd be something like steep slope or habitat or historic, something like that. There are none in this case, so that's fine. And there is no 800 section, which applies to this. And I went through, and the applicant also did, went through our Division 33 standards as amended. There is no Class 1, 2 primary unique soils being impacted here, with a minor exception of a connection, and I'll let Mr. Grogan talk about that. It is considered arable land for purpose of Division 33 and is subject to those standards. It meets those standards. With that, and with the conditions as noted in the application, staff recommends approval. For anybody who may have just popped in, if you want to submit additional testimony by mail, please send it there. It's just, you know, we actually do still take physical mail there. Not even most of them aren't there anymore. Or probably more efficient as far as handling, just email it to me, playg@clackamas.us. It's just easier to move around. And just let us know who you are and what you want, and we will be ready to help. And with that, that's my staff report. Any questions?
No questions, Mr. Glasgow. Thank you. Mr. Grogan, this is your opportunity to present your case.
Thank you. Let me see. Can I share a screen? Sorry, yep.
Yeah, Darcy's sitting, yeah, hang on. You're on the air.
Great. Okay. Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks for being here. Not easy last few months for Clackamas County, so appreciate business as usual, conduct that you guys have shown in facilitating this this application. So briefly, the what I'll go through today is I'll introduce our company, how we look for sites, the benefits of solar, a quick intro to this project in specific, to our submission, the Oregon Community Solar Scheme, and then I'll let Mr. Knapp provide a testimony then. So it's Sullis Solar. We are a pure solar development company. We're based out of Portland. Generally, what we do is we look for suitable sites for solar projects. We get the grid connection with the utility, be it PGE or PacifiCorp. And others, we agree a lease contract with the landowner, get the land use and building permits, in this case, potentially subscribe for community solar, and then we construct and operate the projects. So a kind of a high level overview on how we look for projects, it's generally grid led. So we would look for appropriate grid networks and the ability to export the electricity from the project. Then we approach landowners, and then we look for suitability in terms of permitting. As Mr. Glasgow mentioned, the correct soils profile has been a very important aspect over the last, especially since 2018. Others include avoiding wetlands, floodplains, access, independent access, low visual impact, that we can adhere to the county and state codes, and that the introduction of the project will allow everything that was happening prior to its construction to continue doing so. Some of the benefits of solar, there's give or take 40 jobs during construction. This project will generate about $20,000 per annum in tax revenue for the county. It increases local energy security. Instead of shipping in electricity from faraway places, it reduces that necessity. should things happen. The local grid is more stable. I'll talk about reducing local consumer bills at the end with the community solar scheme. And then lease payments, generally our landowners find that they help with them continuing to farm their property and financing other farming activities, and in general after construction, which in itself isn't very intrusive, but afterwards it's it blends into the landscape quite well. It's relatively low, quiet, and can sit there with not much interaction once constructed. Location, Mr. Glasgow mentioned, it's about a mile and a half southeast of Sandy, and connects to the grid that runs along Highway 26. Some of the permitting positives, it adhered to the arable soils definitions. We were able to, it can connect, as I said, to Highway 26. Bringing the project in will allow all of the other farming practices that have happened in the area to continue doing so, and indeed all other non-farming practices also. And the specific location does not have any wetlands, floodplains, or wildlife issues. Just a few slides on some of the items that we submitted. A big one for all of these submissions is identifying the area around the project and being able to evidence that when the project goes in, that we won't be precluding another area from being farmed. So we showed that in a drawing a circle around the project and identifying all of the practices that happened, how people access each of those areas, and that it can happen after the 10 acres is installed. Some of the other items that we submitted, soil erosion and compaction plan, showing the measures that will take, both during and after construction to avoid any unstabilizing of the soils. Similarly, from a weed control perspective, there's a site-specific biologist-conducted report that we carried out that shows the best management practices that we will implement both during and after construction. Some of the other documents that we submitted, wetlands and floodplain map, the county signed preliminary statement of feasibility, an agricultural pest plan, the soils map, and a map showing any other solar facilities in the area. A kind of a new slide, this. We generally, all of our projects thus far have been the way that that PG has bought the electricity off the project has been through a federal scheme called the PERPA PPA scheme, which is just a fixed price per each unit generated by the facility. In 2019, early this year, the first Oregon Community Solar Program was released, and people were able to subscribe to it. Effectively, what it means is it provides a bit more transparency as to the connection between who generates the electricity and who uses it. So we will be likely applying this project to the Oregon Community Solar Program. Once it gets accepted and we get closer to construction, we can take subscribers on, so a mix of residential, low-income, commercial subscribers, generally give them a discount on their electricity. And this is a kind of a countrywide and general trend in renewables that people can kind of feel, I suppose, that just because they don't have any rooftop space or land, that they can still benefit from renewable energy projects. So that's something that we're pretty excited about. So just to conclude, you know, we hope that we've shown that we've chosen an appropriate site, that we've made a complete submission. The planner has recommended approval, and we think that we have satisfied all of the criteria necessary. As always, happy to answer any questions. I know Mr. Knapp would like to provide some testimony as well, so I can answer questions before or after that.
My only real question was to see if you're okay with all the proposed conditions of approval.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, now would be an opportunity for Mr. Knapp to testify. And I know we know who you are, but just for the record, if you'll give us your name and your address, that would be great.
Okay, thank you. My name is Bill Knapp. My mailing address is Post Office Box 880, Sandy, Oregon, 97055. The site is 41698 Southeast Highway 26 in Sandy, Oregon. I'll try and keep this brief, but as far as the whole project is concerned, this was something that we didn't just jump into. It affects us for the rest of our lives, we expect, because we've been here. I grew up on this farm. The acreage is a larger parcel that surrounds this. And so we wanted to make sure it fit with what we were doing, and we think we're satisfied. We're happy with the way this has turned out. So our three criteria were, number one, we wanted to be a net zero farm for carbon usage. And clearly this will get us to that goal. So we want to, that be part of our operation, to be carbon neutral or carbon negative is be the probably, I think we're there. Second criteria is the diversification is important. We've done a number of things farming over the years, and now we're primarily Christmas trees, but what we plant today, we don't get money for until 10 years. So, things happen in 10 years. So this provides a little bit of stability for income, and we can keep paying our property taxes. And I think probably the most important thing was site selection and how it impacts us and our neighbors. And this really was the perfect spot. There is no homeowner that has this in their view corridor that's going to impact them. All the property to the south is owned by my brother, and he's farming it. And the property to the east is mine. The one house to the north, with this siding, it's not like it's in their yard. There's Christmas trees growing between this site and that house, and so the impact as far as visually is almost nothing. And in the end, we intend to keep this place in farm ground, but if we replace solar with something new, we can pull these posts out and this land can be returned to resource use. So it really seems like a win situation. And I'm happy. Originally there was some neighbors that I had contact with it were concerned about the site, but once they realized, they didn't know where the site was. They didn't understand the location. And once they realized where the location was, nobody cared, which I think you can see that nobody particularly cares. And to the east, there is a satellite farm that receives the TV for whatever our local cable provider is. So no real impact there. So anyway, unless you have any questions, I think that's all I have to say. And I thank you for your time.
Okay, great. No, that all sounds really good. So no further questions. So I don't think anybody else has shown up to testify. Mr. Glasgow?
Well, if there's no one else to testify, I did just – hey, thanks, Connor. Regarding the property address, it's just mixed up depending on which map, and I just wanted to get that on the record. So let me just show this really quick. Okay, here it is. So here's the property. Depending on which map you look at, the tax lots here and here are switched. And depending on which map you look at, this is the 698 address. This is the 690. And as I understand it, that's opposite of what it actually is.
No, that right there, that map is the good map.
Okay.
That is correct. The tax, your tax department always gets it right.
No doubt. Yes, but this map also is used by the tax department, and this is showing tax lot 700 as the subject. This one is showing it as 701. So I feel better now that you've clarified. Okay, so the address is correct on the tax map, but it's incorrect on this map because this is showing as 690 now instead of 698. So I just wanted to get that and right, make sure we're talking about the correct piece, which is this one. The large one, obviously, not the small one. And we will fix our GIS system to reflect reality.
Okay, so for the record, your location is correct. I have no idea, 701 or 700. I just, it's always come to us the same way with that. So I didn't look up my tax bill to see, but this is the map we use, the one you have up. And the property is correctly noted, and the acreage is correct, so we're all good with that.
Okay, so the assessors are always they will find you no matter what the assessors are using. This map I'm showing is correct. It's the other layer, the GIS layer that I use, that has both the tax lot and the addresses switched, and we'll fix it. It's fine. I just need to make sure we all know. We're talking about the, 40-acre piece, give or take here, not the little one.
Right. Yeah.
And that's all I had extra, yeah. And Fred went into a tunnel, didn't he?
Looks like it.
Yep, because it looked like he was just going into a tunnel. Oh, no. Well, let's just wait a minute. This is a little, this is a first. Yeah, I think he was worried about it. He was talking to his driver. Yeah, it's actually a limo, and he has a. I'm kidding. It's not a limo. It's with his family, but this is a little embarrassing. I'm not sure what to do. Darcy, maybe he's frantically looking for the link again to get back on. Is there any way you could contact him? I don't even have my cell phone with me.
Give me just a second here.
Yeah, you guys are, this is a first. We've never lost the hearings officer on a Zoom meeting before. Yeah. In person, he tends to wander off, but this is the first Zoom meeting he's actually just vanished. Hey, Enda, are you actually on? Say something if you're on. Turn on your mic. Okay, maybe he's not. There he is.
Yeah, I'm still here. Clay.
How you doing?
I didn't shave today, so I'm not putting on my camera.
No, that's fine. Just good to see both the Grogan boys up, and I just like listening to you guys talk, so that's
our Malala accents.
Well, as a Glasgow, I'm not going to hold your Irish accents against you, I mean, I told you that my dad had this. He just sounded like a pirate. I mean, he had this great Scottish accent, and I did not pick it up, and I'm so disappointed. But anyway, I'm just trying to fill space here, Darcy. You better hurry, because otherwise it's going to get ugly. I'm going to bring in some entertainers from the back.
I'm working on it.
Well, let me just kind of talk out loud here how we might be able to handle this, because the hearing is in, well, it's technically still open. The hearings officer needs to close it. I think he's going to be okay closing it later if he can't get back on. Is everybody here okay with that option?
Yes.
Okay, nobody else wants to add anything, so he could close the record and close the hearing after this. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so that's on record. Oh, that sounded good. Oh, I think somebody's trying to get back in.
Maybe even if he called using with his cell phone.
Well, that's it. I don't have my phone with me today. In fact, I haven't had it for a couple of days. I don't even know where it is. I'm getting a lot of email. We can check that if you want.
There you go.
Here he is.
Wait, Fred. Hang on a minute, Fred. Are you still coming? Okay, you're on.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry about that. We must have gone off where we didn't have reception.
Yeah.
So we just finished Mr. Knapp testifying, and you were talking about getting the addresses corrected. Is that all taken care of? We know what the correct stuff is?
Yep.
Okay. Sorry about that, everybody. So I think we've had everyone who wants to testify. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I think with that, well, we almost finished it before I lost my connection, but I think that probably takes care of everything we need to do today.
You're so close. He was like one sentence away.
Your audio's cutting out, Fred.
Losing his sleep over the
I can't believe it works at all in a moving vehicle.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
No. Well, hang on 1 second.
He's back.
Can you guys hear me again?
There you are.
Okay, so we're going to public hearing, close the record. I'll have a decision out early next week, probably. Mr. Glasgow, if you'd send me an updated version of the staff report, that would be great, so I have the conditions of approval. And before we lose me again, we will conclude the proceedings for today. Thank you, everybody, for bearing with me. I know this isn't the way we usually do things, so I appreciate that.
Thanks, Fred.
All right. Goodbye. I'll see you later this afternoon, Darcy. Okay, bye.
All right, everybody's free to go. That's it. We're done. See you later, Connor. See you, Enda.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Darcy.
Thank you very much, guys.
See you later, Clay.